Welcome to the Business Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Evans, and each episode I'll be sitting down for a chat with an inspiring guest. My aim is to share practical insights to help you lead and grow a profitable business. My guest today is Darren Finkelstein, who's known as the accountability guy from Tick Those Boxes, and he works with high-performing entrepreneurs and leaders who want to get more done. So no more procrastination or not knowing where to start. Darren will help us to plan, implement, and execute so that we can be successful in our businesses. So looking forward to hearing more about how having an accountability coach in your corner can really help you. If you're enjoying the podcast, then share it with somebody else who you think that it may help. And I'd always be grateful for a written review and some stars on Apple Podcasts. Let's get started.
Business Chat Podcast is brought to you by the Soft Skills Academy. There is nothing soft about soft skills. They are highly sought after in business today. Soft skills include emotional intelligence, leadership, public speaking, teamwork, and time management. We offer customized training and coaching solutions to help your people enhance their ability to communicate, interact, create trust, and lead teams. Head to softskillsacademy.com.au to find out more.
My guest today on the Business Chat Podcast is Darren Finkelstein, who is in Melbourne. Am I correct?
You sure are, in Sictoria, we're called now.
Right. Yeah, sorry to hear about your current lockdown status. Hopefully it's over for you pretty soon. So my guest today, Darren Finkelstein, who is an accountability coach, and we're going to get into what exactly is an accountability coach and why you need one in a moment. But first of all, I'm going to ask you the simple question, who is Darren Finkelstein?
Yeah, well, thank you for the introduction, Lisa. Darren Finkelstein is an entrepreneurial business coach, but with a difference. So I work with high-performing entrepreneurial business owners to ensure that they get stuff done. So they do the things they say they're going to do, and they get their team to do the same.
I love that, because how many people are either gunners or starters but not finishers?
Exactly.
So it's not about starting, is it? It's about actually finishing stuff. And I find that, you know, we either don't finish things because we've either taken too much on or because we've got no accountability in place.
Yeah. And there's a whole lot of reasons why people don't complete the stuff they start off doing. And, you know, a lot of it is to do with how they process that because, you know, we're human beings. We're all under the pump in different ways and we all process things differently. So I think the secret is just taking a little step and starting the exercise. Don't worry about finishing it. Just make a start because you can get through that initial hurdle, that self-belief. Really, you start becoming empowered. You feel pretty good about it.
Which is great. And of course, for everything we don't finish, it ends up costing us time and energy and effort and money. So it's not good to have too much stuff unfinished and keep starting more stuff. So you've had a long corporate career before you became an accountability coach. So tell us a bit about how did you move from corporate life to being an entrepreneur? And I love that I read somewhere on your website that you mentioned being a corporate escapee.
Yes.
I love that. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So rewind the clock, not a huge amount of time ago, but I worked for Apple for nearly 10 years. And I was their manager of commercial markets. So that was all their business units other than education related. And I found that, you know, during the period I was there for 10 years, I learned a heap because fortunate enough to work during the wonderfully inspirational Steve Jobs era. And learned some great things and had some really tough experiences at Apple and found that Apple set me on my way on the day the World Trade Centers got attacked back there in 2002 on the 9/11 day, as it turned out to be. Was the day that my 10 years at Apple came to an end and I got a redundancy and I left my place of work that day and I was really broken and I felt completely rejected and felt really quite alone and went down to where I like to spend some of my time and that is down mucking around with my little fishing boat. And I used that time, Lisa, really to try and take stock of what I'd achieved at Apple. And I likened my time at Apple to being on a treadmill. And, you know, someone was in control of the volume. So as you're running, all you're doing is just hoping you'll stay balanced, head down. You don't get to see all the wonderful view around you. And all you're doing is just keeping up. And that's what I found. If I look back at the 10 years I spent at Apple, it was about just really keeping up with the volume and the pace. And I didn't have a chance to smell the roses and appreciate what wonderfulness, that's such a word, all that wonderful things that I was creating. And I felt like a corporate escapee once I finished up at Apple and left there and moved on to my next stage, was to put some of the practice stuff I'd learned at Apple into practice for my own entrepreneurial business. And I followed my passion of boating and started a boat business of all things. So I took a real sea change.
Yeah, a literal sea change. And the boat business, how did that look? What sort of boat business was it?
Yeah, so we ran a full end-to-end solution. So based at a marina at St Kilda Marina in Melbourne, we, my business partner and I, who was just a friend who'd also enjoyed boating like I did, he was a yachty and I was the powerboat guy. And we put our skills together and the knowledge I took taken from Apple. And we built up a boat brokerage business and eventually expanded that into a full service business. So not only did we sell the new and used boats to our clients, but we also serviced them. We repaired them. We maintained them. We washed them. We cleaned them. We provisioned them. So we put beers in boats for our boat owners. We tried to give them a complete experience. And we, of course, sell fuel and safety gear and all that sort of stuff. So it was a complete end-to-end solution. And we thought we'd see how it went and give it a try for 12 months and see how it turned out. Well, 15 years later, we successfully exited and sold that business and went off and did our own things. And I took all that practice and skill that I'd developed running my own business and from my time at Apple and set up, tick those boxes and set myself up as an accountability coach.
Wow. So we've gone from Apple to boats and then becoming an accountability coach. So, you know, in the world, I mean, there are many, many different types of coaches and even business coaches. Why were you drawn to the area of accountability? What is it about accountability that you really wanted to help people with?
Yeah, it was the thing that I found that worked really well for me as a business owner. And so when I was implementing my own activity, my own practices, I found that being held accountable for my actions really meant that I could generate more outcomes that I wanted, rather than try to do it alone, which is what most entrepreneurial business owners do. You know, they go it alone. They don't necessarily want to tell anybody about it. They're quite happy to keep it a small little exercise because they fear that when they share that with other people, that's going to mean they're going to have to commit to something. They're going to have to live up to that standard. They're going to have to be something that they envision. My focus on accountability is to say, well, we are responsible for things as business owners. We are accountable to people. And it's that one-on-one interaction you have with somebody else that really helps you stay on track, that helps you reduce that overwhelm, which helps give you the clarity, gives you the support, and give you the encouragement and the appreciation and the praise you get. So that's why accountability was so important to me. It was the activity that enabled me to take action. And that's what I'm really good at.
Fabulous. And it must be so rewarding. I mean, you're working with high achievers and high performing clients. So you get to choose who you work with, as most great business coaches do. It must be so rewarding seeing people kick those goals and reach that, you know, really doing exactly what they said they would do, which is a, you know, a great feeling for both client and coach.
Lisa, look, it's really interesting to look at the amount of people as a business owner, the amount of people that rely on us. You know, we have staff that rely on us. We have that team, extended team that rely on us. We have suppliers that rely on us. We have family that rely on us. And so the more we can generate, the more we can take those promises, those ideas, and actually turn them into something that's measurable, that's an outcome-driven activity, means that we're going to be more successful at what we do. And it'll give us more pleasure. We'll be much happier to be with. We won't be working on weekends like we should. We should be out and about enjoying life.
For sure. So what are some of the reasons? We touched on it briefly, but unpack it a bit more for us, Darren. What are some of the reasons why we don't get stuff done?
Yeah, look, Lisa, there's really seven reasons that I've identified in working with the clients that I have been over the last couple of years. There's really seven key things that stop us from moving forward. The first one is the fact that we are overwhelmed. We just become so full of stuff that we don't know where to start. And that, of course, leads us to procrastination. But I often find that writing things down is really important. Getting it out of our head and trying to rely on our memory. And for some, as they get a little older, perhaps it's harder to remember things and we're just always so busy and so torn. Write it down is such a great way to reduce the overwhelm, but also, Lisa, to break it down into small chunks. You know, they talk about eating the elephant one little bite at a time. It's so, so true. So rather than looking at the complete exercise, what's the first thing I can do to make a start on that and get some momentum and get some self-belief happening? The other thing I also find, and the second reason that people don't get stuff done, is that they're overambitious. You know, they really just say yes to everything. Yes, of course I'll do that. Their heart's in the right place. They want to help others, but they don't realize how they're going to fit that into their own schedule and meet their own commitments. The third thing is, Lisa, that they don't have a plan. So they actually don't know where they're going to start the exercise. So creating a plan is really, really important. Most people go into an exercise with some past problems that they've had with it. They've tried this approach before. They've tried this exercise before and it hadn't worked out as good as they'd hoped. And so they carry that sort of negative component into that exercise, which doesn't help you trying to achieve the stuff you want to get done. The number five thing, Lisa, is that they just don't know where to start. And that's where procrastination really does set in. And I just find that the first thing they can do, pick the easiest thing. Just start with that and get a bit of momentum going. Get a bit of self-confidence happening. Feel good about the exercise and slowly, slowly take on more of that process. But not knowing where to start really just is why is the heart of, I think, what I do with business owners, because they have so many things they want to do. They perhaps are alone or they're solopreneurs and they just don't know how to make that first step because there's so many other things that are biting at their feet. So knowing where to start is a really, really important reason. The sixth reason, Lisa, is that they don't have a big enough reason. So, you know, if you're working as part of perhaps a team and you're only just doing your component, you don't understand all the other parts that fit together like a beautifully placed jigsaw puzzle. So your success and your completing of a task affects other people. So when you know that affects other people, you know that you're letting down others if you don't do it. So you can then come back to focusing on the reason to do it. And the last reason, Lisa, that I find that stops people from getting stuff done is that no one cares. So really, they just feel that there's no one that's interested in what they have to say or they're doing. It's not important to other people. And of course, they then don't get the accountability that they need. And true accountability is as simple as just sitting down with somebody, having a phone call and saying, how are you going with that task? Where are you at with it? You said you wanted to do this. How's that progressing for you? And opening up dialogue about it so you can actually help move them forward. Because quite often it's the clarity that we just need a little bit more of. It's perhaps we don't understand fully the task and a fresh set of ears, fresh set of eyes coming into the conversation just gives a different perspective.
It sounds like, Darren, it's more than pure accountability, because when you're talking about some of those bits and pieces around people not having a plan, they don't know where to start, maybe they don't have the resources. So if people are working with you as their accountability coach and they come up against one of these barriers, let's say they don't know how to start or they don't have the resources, is it more than accountability? Are you then coaching them or mentoring them through the how to?
Yeah, very much so. And that's where I bring the business experience that I've had, my own successful business in the past, of being an entrepreneur, having lots of team and have competing in a marketplace that, you know, was kind of a bit old school and I wanted to bring some new blood into that industry. So I come bring that to the table with that knowledge. But what I find also is that it's about really being a sounding board for business owners, it being their confidant, it's providing them a counsel, it's holding their hand, it's doing all those sort of things. But there was a really interesting study done in the US back in 2010 and looked at the probability of achieving a goal. And they said that you have a 10% probability of achieving your goal if you actually have a goal in the first place. One would have thought that kind of makes sense. If you consciously decide you want to get that goal and achieve it, your probability goes to 25%. And if you decide when you're going to do it, Lisa, that goes to 40%. So we're kind of nearly half there, but we've still got work to go. So it's not enough just to have the first part. You've got to have all the components. Your plan, it goes to 50% probability if you actually have a plan. So how am I going to do this task? your probability goes to 65% if you commit to someone that you're going to do it. So just by the fact that you can say to somebody, hey, Lisa, I'm working on this at the moment. I'm starting to share that with you. You'll be listening to what I'm saying. You'll ask questions about it next time we catch up. Darren, how are you going with that? Or you might want to ring me during the next week and say, we spoke about this. How are you progressing with that? And so just by sharing it with somebody, your probability goes to 65% on the back of having a plan, knowing when you're going to do it, knowing how you're going to do it. Your probability goes to 95% if you actually have an accountability appointment with someone who's going to hold you accountable. So that's a specific review process where you can sit down with whoever that person is and go through a list of tasks that you have outstanding. So that will help you get to your probability of 95% of completing your goal. And I think that's game-changing for business. If you have a goal you want to achieve and you know the steps that it's going to take, you know how long it's going to be, you know when you want to do it, you know how you're going to do it, and you have someone who's working with you to ensure you do what you say you're going to do, why would you not achieve that goal? So I think that's game-changing stuff. It works beautifully with clients.
Yeah, and it's a little bit different to the sort of the pure coaching model where the onus is all on the client. The client comes with the agenda. And yeah, I really like that. It sounds more, it's more structured. You know, a lot of people want the structure, particularly as a business owner. You know, we wear all the hats and we can really do so many different things with our time. We've got to be channeled and we've got to be focused. Great tips.
Thank you. What's really interesting with that exercise is that most business owners have had a business coach at some stage in their lives, and they get the strategy, they get the really high level concepts about it. But I go back to my office, wherever that is, whether I'm working from home or I'm working from an office somewhere and I'm sitting alone behind my computer screen, I now need to start that task. And when I start that task, my phone's ringing because I have other issues that have come up. A client delivery didn't turn up on time, so I'm now needing to address that. And as a business owner, we're juggling all these balls in the air. So to have someone who can sit down with you and actually roll their sleeves up and really get under the hood, so to speak, and work through step-by-step process really gives you a different level of support. And it's very different to just having a high-level strategy session with a coach.
Yeah, and it's more of a hybrid, you're coaching with mentoring. And that's what I prefer to do as a coach, because pure coaching, you know, a great coach will ask you amazing and somewhat challenging questions. But if you haven't got the answers and you don't know the how to, and sometimes you want somebody to show you. So, you know, a coach asks good questions, but a mentor will take you on the journey because they've walked that journey and they're a few steps ahead of you. So, you know, I'm very careful now when I choose a coach. I've had some amazing coaching experiences. I've had some not so good coaching experiences, including my very first business coach. But, you know, I take responsibility for that because I didn't know the difference between a coach and a mentor. I thought I wanted a coach. And then I would go along for my weekly appointments. You know, I was so hungry to learn. I was like a sponge, you know, and I go, what's next? And they'd say, well, you know, what questions do you have or what's happening? And there was no structure around it. And I would become frustrated because I didn't really know what's that one next step. What do I need to be doing? What should I be doing? And I realized very quickly I needed a mentor, or I probably needed a bit of both. Yeah.
Yes. What I find works really well, and it's a frequency of my program. Accountability, as I said, you're accountable to people. So what makes it work is that we have regular, weekly, you know, that Monday morning at 8 o'clock, it's a conversation with Darren. So you would have then prepared for that and you would be ready to go with that exercise. And it's that frequency that works really well. And, you know, we all need a bit of a kick in the pants sometimes. So that's, you know, we want to get the goal. We want to achieve that goal. We have those hard questions.
Yeah. So let's talk about the kick in the pants part. So I'm your client and I've not done what I said I was going to do this week. So how does that conversation go, Darren?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation because we spend a lot of time talking about why you need to do it. What's important about doing that particular task? And if you don't do it, what's the effect of that? And how's that play out in your own organization? So if you want to not do the task next week, then don't do the task next week. But those things that we talked about are not going to happen. So if you want them to happen, the first step you can do is set towards achieving that task. So let's work out what those steps are in that task that you need to complete this week. And then I'll call you on Wednesday and see how you're going with that step one. Don't complete the whole step, just do step one. And then I'll hold your hand through that exercise. I can't force someone to do a task. If they don't want to do it, they're not connected enough with it. The tasks they take on, the goals they set, have to be connected to their why. It has to be connected to their purpose. It's got to be specific and relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the systemized process that you have, Darren. It sounds great. And what about, so somebody may have the tools and they might have the motivation and they've got the plan and they know what step one, two, three is, and you're having a call with them. You know, we all get struck by self-doubt and imposter syndrome will just rear its ugly head. And then we just have those moments where we just go, oh, you know, who am I to be having a podcast, or who am I to be, you know, leading the conversation or stepping up in front of however many people on stage? You know, what are your tips for people when we get that crushing self-doubt?
Yeah, it's interesting that happens. You know, I like to look at deconstructing what's worked in the past. So let's pick a scenario that's worked for you in the past that you acknowledge that you've had success with, and let's break it down into little pieces and look at deconstructing that from the outcome backwards to all those steps that you undertook. And then we talk about the success that you had through each of ones of those steps. And if you could break that down and reflect back on what's worked in the past, then it makes it easy to accept and to be much more reassured that the path you're on is the right one.
Yeah. And I think your self-doubt happens to everybody. And sometimes, you know, we tend to associate it with being new or being inexperienced or still building your skill set. But I find that the more successful you become and the more of a sort of thought leader you become, it hits you harder. Would you agree? That kind of just comes out of the blue and it's like bang. And all of a sudden you're back into that space of feeling small.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I've got a couple of clients that I'm working with projects with at the moment. And those projects are placing them quite heavily in front of their opposition. And they have the imposter syndrome, you know, I'm not worthy for this. And they've been in business longer than I have. And they know more than me and all that sort of stuff. But they bring a skill set to the table that quite often just take for granted. And they have an interest or a perspective on things that others want to hear. And so let's try and work out and work with your opposition, not keep them at arm's length. Let's bring them into your world and talk about how you can benefit and collaborate together. It's interesting when you kind of take those what perceived to be your enemies and make them in your friends.
Yeah, and having somebody like yourself coming along with that different perspective, you're helping people to see that through different lenses is really great. I love your email close, your little picture and your quote of accountability is your superpower. It is, isn't it?
It is, most definitely. And see, the thing, Lisa, is that we see accountability typically in a negative light. It's the headline in a newspaper when a politician hasn't delivered on what they should deliver. It's when a sports person's been inappropriate and done the wrong thing. And we look for a head, we look for providing a victim and a you know, the perpetrator. This is what we want. We want to like parade that.
Somebody to blame. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. We want to blame it. We want to finger point. We want to do all that sort of stuff. And so what accountability is quite the opposite to that. Everybody has accountability within them. You don't need a coach to keep yourself accountable. And to be able to tap into that, even with it, with a friend or a colleague or a part of your broader networking community, perhaps your alumni, you can tap into greatness with that. And it's all within. It doesn't cost anything to do that. It's just sitting there waiting to be tapped into.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like that. Your business is called Tick Those Boxes.
It is.
Tick Those Boxes. You've got a book. What's your book called?
Yeah, book's called The Accountability Advantage, Play Your Best Game.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And where can people get a copy of the book? Is it on Amazon or all the usual places?
Yes, it's on Amazon. It's on iBooks. It's on all those online. Correct. Or if they just want to head to tickthoseboxes.com.au, they can follow the links and grab a book. They can download a free chapter and have a read of it and see if it's for them. And away they go. Easy to do.
Fabulous. It sounds awesome. So, Darren, one final tip. What would be the biggest tip that you can offer for somebody who is wanting to get to that next step, whatever that next step is in their business growth journey, what would be your biggest tip?
My biggest tip would be for them to sit down and make a review of their progress with somebody else.
Right.
It can be a colleague, as I said, an alumni, someone they used to work with, someone they respect and trust, and sit there and just do a temperature check on how they're going. See how that cake is baking in the oven, whether it's quite right yet, and just see their progress and look at that review and try and do it on a frequent basis. Do it every week or every 2 weeks. Get some fluency with it. Build some momentum with it.
Fabulous.
And have another set of eyes look and share with what you're doing.
Yeah, and I love those stats. We'll put those in the show notes, the stats and the quotes around your percentages of success going up when you take those actions. And the important one being, you know, tell somebody that you're going to do whatever it is, because that will then, you know, raise the, make you more successful or more chance of getting it done, which is great.
Yeah, which it is. And, you know, those probabilities that I went through before can be applied to anything. We've got a bit of time. I just want to share a story with you, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, great, great. So pointing to the photo on my book cover, and I needed, the book came out in January of this year. I needed to have my author photo on the back cover done about November. And we were in the middle of lockdown, in the middle of the year when I'm planning all this out last year here in Melbourne for our first lockdown. I think we're up to number four now. And what was really interesting was that I thought I just needed to lose some weight. This COVID belly that I was getting, the author photo is not going to look so good, right? So I'm saying to myself in the middle of the year, I need to lose some weight because I have an author photo that's going to take place around Melbourne Cup weekend, which is that first sort of weekend in November. So I started off the process. I had a 10% probability of achieving that author photo that looks great, if I had an actual idea or a goal, which is what I identified. My probability goes to 25% if I'm consciously going to do it. And I, you know, needed to lose weight. I didn't feel good about that photo I wanted to go public with. I just didn't feel comfortable about it at all. So my probability is now at 25%. I then decided when I'm going to do it. Well, I need to take action now. It's in the middle of the year, because my timeline was that my photo was going to take place in November. So I had 4 or 5 months in front of me was the timeline that's set. So my probability is now going to 40% to losing weight and getting that great photo. I had a plan of how I was going to do that. I decided that I wasn't going to drink alcohol during the week. I'm just going to leave that to weekends while I'm in COVID, and I'm going to do some exercise at home and get myself a treadmill and do that in the garage, which I started to do. And I did that every day for the best part of 5 months. So that plan itself took me to 50% probability of achieving my goal. I went to 65% probability of achieving my goal when I started telling everybody. So I was doing a podcast with my friend Andrew Griffiths last year called Kick This Bug in the Nuts. It was referring to the COVID situation that all small business owners were in. So every week I was doing a live podcast and I was telling the audience that where I was in the progress of achieving my goal. So I'm sharing it with them. Now, had I not have completed that goal, I would have lost face. I would have really felt like I'd let everybody down, but I was never going to do that. So my probability was at 65% because I'd committed to somebody. And the fact that here I was, I had an accountability appointment with a person that holds me to account every week during that process, took me to 95%. And I managed to lose the weight by cup day, had the author photo, and pretty happy with how it sort of panned out from there. But it can apply to anything. It doesn't have to be to a business process or a business task. It can be to getting your golf handicap down. It can be getting, you know, how do I lose weight? How do I get fitter? How do I do a particular task? It can apply to a lot of things.
Fabulous. Say what you're going to do and do what you say you said you'd do.
Exactly. And get your team to do the same. And then everybody's on the same path.
Great. Awesome advice. So, Darren, I like to finish off each episode with the same two questions. And the first question is, what's a quote or a mantra that you live by?
Do what you say you're going to do and get your team to do the same.
Fabulous. I like that one.
You can't buy happiness, but getting stuff done is pretty much the same.
Yeah, awesome. And a book, so a business book that's on your shelf, one that's evergreen that you refer to often that you think could be a good asset on anyone's business bookshelf.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone's got to be the most expensive. It may as well be you, by Andrew Griffiths.
Ah, I haven't got that one. I'll have to look into getting that one.
Ah, yeah, it's a really, really interesting, eye-opening, and talks about how you price your product. And if you deliver the absolute great service, exceed customer expectations, you can justify charging more for your services, which is a great way to look at the exercise.
It is. I'm going to add that to my list of books that I'll be buying in this month, and I may reach out to Andrew and see if he'd be interested in a chat on the podcast.
Happy to organise an intro between the two of you.
Great. That'll be awesome. Thank you so much. Darren Finkelstein, accountability coach at tickthoseboxes.com.au for the website. He's got a book, The Accountability Advantage.
Advantage. Play your best game.
Fabulous. And you can find Darren at his website and on LinkedIn and all those channels. We'll put all those notes in the show notes so that people know exactly how to reach out to you. Thank you so much, Darren Finkelstein, for being my guest today on the Business Chat podcast.
It's my pleasure, Lisa. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I hope you got some insights. If you enjoy the podcast, I'd be super grateful if you could rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you have any questions or ideas for future guests, drop me a line, Lisa at businesschatpodcast.com.au.